Well, today we will be in John chapter 20. John 20. As you know, I'm sure, we are going to read the chapter in full, and then we're going to go back and look specifically at verses 11 through 18. But let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for the time to come to your word. We thank you for the responsibility of preaching the word. We thank you for the illumination that you give us to preach the word. But Father, we know that all that we can say or do will come to nothing without you applying it to the hearts of your people. And Father, I just pray that today we would be moved, that we would be taught, that we would grow, that we would be conformed to the image of your Son all the more. And Lord, we just pray now your blessing on our time. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 20, and this is, of course, the center of the message that we preach. You know, these last couple of chapters with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The thing that we come to celebrate each week together is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The thing that we gather around the table to remember is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and remembering his death until he comes. So you can go all the way back, probably even prior to Genesis 3:15 and the Proto-Evangelium, where he says, and you know, talking about bruising his head and, you know, crushing his head and bruising his heel. And, you know, that's speaking of this very moment right here in this death, burial, and resurrection. At the death of Christ, I'm sure the enemy thought he had the victory. He thought, but really, it was just a bruise. But Satan's head was crushed at the resurrection. You know, he no longer had death to hold over us. Death no longer means the same thing to us. But here in chapter 20, we're looking specifically at the resurrection. And so let's begin reading. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples and the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. And by the way, when he says the other disciple, you know, John speaks of himself often in the third person like that. And this is speaking of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So Peter went out with the other disciple, who is John, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first and stooped to look in. He saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and said to Jesus standing, and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, If you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nail, in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But they are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So, last week Tony dealt with the first 10 verses, and we know that Mary, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And now you can go to other accounts and she had, you know, and I'm not going to spend time trying to bring all the accounts together exactly. But I believe every one of them to be true, and if there is any inconsistency that we see, it's us, as our lack of understanding. But Mary went, and she saw that the stone had been rolled from the tomb. So she went and told Peter and John, or told them all, and Peter and John came down, and they looked in. We know that John stopped short, as Tony brought out last week. He stopped short. He went in later, but he stopped short, and Peter ran on by him and went in. And perhaps the reason John stopped was because of the defilement that would be there by going in, you know, touching a dead body and things like that. And this was the Passover and all that was going on. But Simon came in following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there. And as was brought out last week, it is amazing, you know, to think of the clothes laying there. If someone had robbed the tomb, as some suspected, they would have just grabbed him up and left. They wouldn't have laid the clothes there. You could tell that just as he went through the walls or just appeared in the room, Jesus was removed from that situation. He was raised bodily from the dead, and the grave clothes were left. And, you know, the resurrection, as we think of it and as we know the centrality of it in the gospel, we, You know, people say, well, I just don't believe he raised from the dead. I just don't believe it. You know, or they'll say, well, that's an impossibility. Someone just stole the grave, or it's just a fairy tale. And their problem isn't that they don't believe in the resurrection. I mean, that's a problem. But their problem is that they don't believe that he is God. If they believed that he was God, if they believed that he was who he said he is, the resurrection would be no problem. So they're really, when they deny, someone denies the resurrection, they are not a Christian. Because they deny the fact that he is God. That's exactly what they're saying. Okay. But this resurrection, what's taking place right here is central to our belief system, central to our hope and our faith. But they went and they looked and they didn't see him. And it says, and John believed. I'm not sure exactly with the statement following in verse 9. For as yet they did not understand the scripture. Maybe at that point he did, and prior to this he had not understood what was to happen. But I still think their understanding was lacking, you know, and would be probably until Pentecost. But in verse 10 it says, then the disciples went back to their homes. And it's kind of interesting, you know, as we get into this next section, we see that they went back to their homes, but Mary stayed there. And it may make you wonder why. You know, of course, the disciples already had a history of running off and leaving and going back to their homes. You know, they left the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter had denied the Lord three times, and these things going on. Now, I'm not blaming them, because we would have been right on their heels if we had been there. But Mary, Mary Magdalene, she stayed. And, you know, it's really quite amazing. But she had a great love for Christ. She had a great love for Christ. And you know why she did, probably? Do you remember what had happened to her when she was converted? What is it in Luke chapter 8, verse 2? Did I give you that, Tony? Okay. Let's just go back there. You got it? Luke 8. Verse 1 through 3, soon afterward, he went through the cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their means. So she had been delivered from 7 demons. And she was very grateful to the Lord, and she loved him dearly. And in verse 11, it says that she stood outside weeping. She was outside of the tomb weeping. And this had been 3 days, but now that the body had been taken, she thought, you know, this was very disruptive to them and very heartbreaking to them. And she still did not understand what she was seeing. And we'll see that here as we go along. And but she was weeping outside of the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And you can just imagine there, being there and having seen already that the tomb was empty, and having gone back and got Peter and John, and they came back and they saw that the tomb was empty, and probably everybody wasn't quite sure what was going on. And you know, it's, you know, she stooped to look again, you know, and oftentimes when we're looking for something, we'll look in the same place over and over again. I know it's got to be there. I know it's got to be there. That's where we put it. That's where we put the body of Jesus. And she stooped to look in, you know, in her grief. But when she did, now in other accounts, you have Peter and John seeing angels maybe at a little different point here. And like I said, I'm not going to try to reconcile that right here, but I'm going to deal mainly. We're going to go to Luke, and then we're going to look at that account. And then, but when she looked in, she saw two angels in white. Peter and John hadn't seen them. At this point, according to this account, had not seen them. And there were two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus... I mean, think about her looking. She may have looked several times. We're not told. You know, just pacing back and forth and looking in and looking in. And finally she looked and there were the angels that were there. Sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they asked her. I read this kind of in a rebuking way. Woman, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And let me read that again. Having said this, turning around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Why are you seeking? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, you have carried him away. Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And you see her state. You see her state right there. She, you know, the angels had said something to her about, you know, why are you weeping? And she said to Jesus himself, whom she supposed to be the gardener, she said to him, where have you laid him? Where have you taken him? And I see her blindness. Now, some account, and it may be true, you know, we can discuss this afterwards, but some would say she's just overwrought with emotion and she just doesn't see clearly. Some say, you know, the tears in her eyes obstructed her view as she turned and saw Jesus and supposing him to be the gardener. I think it's more than that. I think it's much more than that. And I don't know that I can explain exactly what I think this is, but I think there's still a blindness in Mary. There is a blindness. Now, she saw him as her deliverer from the demons. She saw him as one who did great miracles. And she saw him as one who perhaps would set up an earthly kingdom and rule and deliver the people of Israel from their oppressors. But I don't think she saw him as who he really was. I'm not sure to this point that she had seen that. And I think that there was still a spiritual blindness. You know, and the scriptures speak of the fact that we are, before Christ, we are spiritually dead. We were dead, and he made us alive. And I think at the resurrection, she had known him well. She had eaten with him, prepared for him, and all of these things. She had spent multitudes of time with him, but did not recognize him after the resurrection. And that has to be, in my mind, because of the fact that things were different. Yes, it was Jesus. He was bodily raised from the dead. But it was not the same Jesus. Now, you know, it is the same Jesus. But it's a different aspect of him that is present at this time. I think so. And it points to the fact that, I'll hold that just a second. But I think she was still at a point where she was spiritually blind. Romans chapter 3 in verses 10 through 18, we hadn't been there for a while, but speaks did I give you that one, Tony? No? Okay. But it talks, that's where it says, talks about no one seeks after God, not even one. And it goes on and it concludes with there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know, I don't need to speak bad of Mary, but there was something lacking in her at the very beginning that was different than it would be in just a few minutes. And that difference, I think, comes in just the next word that Jesus spoke. And what did he say? Jesus said to her, Mary. And instantly, she knew who he was. She didn't know who he was because of the way he looked. He didn't know who she was, or she didn't know who he was, even by the sound of his voice prior to this. She thought he was the gardener. But he said, Mary. And then she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And so she recognized him immediately when he called her name. And I think that is a picture of grace. I think that's a picture of the effectual calling. I think that is what it means to be called by God. He knows us before the foundation of the world. And we come to know him in time and space at a particular time. And in that particular time, it is when he calls our name. Every one of you, at some point in your life, if you know Jesus Christ right now, he called you by name. You may not have heard your name audibly. That's not what I mean, but he called you specifically. He said, Tony. And he said, Don. And he said, Tom. And he said, Jimmy. And he said, Matt. Not to leave out the ladies. He calls our names. And so, we can discuss this later if you want, but I think it's more than the fact that she simply physically did not recognize him. I think there was something after the resurrection that separated him from her, and he called her to himself. And I'm not explaining that just real well, but he calls her by name. And I think of passages like, Acts chapter 9. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. He said, this is the story of Saul's conversion. But Paul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogue at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate or drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here am I, Lord. And we'll stop there. But it began with the Lord saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And this is the point of Saul's conversion. We also can go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, and then we see down in verse 26, I believe I have. He says, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is a figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is hired is a hired hand and not a shepherd. Who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And then you go down to verse 26. But you do not believe me because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So you see, Jesus is calling Mary, and he calls her by name, and immediately she understands who he is. Immediately. And the same really is true in our lives. You know, when the Lord calls us, we don't say no. When the Lord calls us by name, we hear his voice. And we really just see the effectual call of God here. And turn to Luke chapter 24. And this is another account of the resurrection, and then of the account of the two men on the road to Emmaus. And I would like to read this and then make some comment. He says, But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Now, here, listen to this account. The very day, two of them were going to a village. And it just says two of them, and we'll find out later. I mean, we don't know who these two men are. We have the name of one. But the way it enters in, this statement, we don't know two of who. But that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still and looking sad. The one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all that, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures the things concerning. He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Listen, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." And so we see these two men apparently had a desire to know the Lord and had been in Jerusalem and had heard all these things, but were disappointed. And they heard all that Jesus said, even on the road after his resurrection. But not until he opened their eyes did they understand what he was saying. You know, and this is the effectual call of God upon a life. You know, we think about, you know, these men apparently were religious men. Mary at least at this time, was a religious person. She had been had all of these things around her for a period of time, and these men perhaps had grown up in Judaism and had known the prophets and had known all that had been taught in the past. But the fact is, unless the Lord moves, we will never see. We will never see. And this is an amazing truth. If we are not the chosen people of God to whom He chooses to reveal Himself at a given point in time, we would be lost in our sins. Without this grace, we would not be saved. Without this electing, effectual grace, we would be without hope. And if it were not this way, look at it backwards just a little bit. If we were saved in any other way, then our salvation would be a salvation of works. Without election, there is no grace. Without election, there is no grace. Without God's accomplishing salvation in us, it is not grace. If we could come to the Lord in any other way other than His working, then it would not be grace. It would be based upon our works. We would have to be so wise. We would have to be so tall. We'd have to be so skinny. We'd have to be so something that we might be saved. But it is the Lord who does it. And we see this going on right here when He says to her, you know, it's amazing that she went there looking for Jesus and didn't find Him, but yet didn't recognize Him when she saw Him. You know, many people are religious today. Many people are perhaps hungering for something, but they don't recognize Jesus. It's not until He calls her name and says to them, Mary. He calls His sheep by name and they follow Him. And of course, after this, she turns and says to Him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And it's a high term. And then Jesus said to her, this is kind of interesting and not always settled in everybody's mind. He said to her, do not cling to Me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to My brothers and say to them, I am ascending to My Father and your Father, to My God and your God. And so she went and announced to the disciples. It says, do not cling to Me. You know, we ask the reason why, and one writer made a lot of sense to me when I was looking at this, and it has to do with relationship. See, after the resurrection, it's not going to be the same. They had been together, traveling around the country, you know, and, you know, Jesus seemed that He always had someone with Him, and, you know, He had a multitude, you know, had a lot of people follow Him around, and Mary was one of them, I'm sure, and the other disciples. But that relationship was never to be the same. Something had happened. It had gone far beyond that. Not just like you and I hanging out. He said, don't cling to Me. And He's speaking of the fact that before long, He would ascend to the Father. We're going to read that. He's going to ascend to the Father. And of course, then what happens once He ascends to the Father? The Spirit of God comes. You see, in that relationship with Christ, with the indwelling Spirit, the Spirit of Christ is way different than what they had experienced up to now. So He said, don't cling to Me. Don't cling to Me. Because things are different. Now, I don't think He was necessarily rebuking her, but He was calling her attention to the difference in relationship. And we know, of course, Thomas touched His side and, you know, touched the wounds in His hands. But she says, he says to her, "Don't cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father." And the relationship that she will have after he ascends to the Father will far surpass the relationship she's had with him up to now. With the indwelling Spirit of God, to bring back to remembrance the things that have been taught, to empower to live the life they've been called to live. And I think of really applying this to Peter. There's a statement made, and it comes out in the King James a little stronger, and I don't really know which I didn't do a word study on it, but, you know, Peter denied the Lord three times. But I believe it's in the King James. It says, "But once you are converted, this is going to happen." We'll have to look that up. This is just coming to my mind right now. But it talks about basically once there's a change in that relationship. You know, Peter died apparently a martyr's death. But at one time he ran away. At one time three times he denied the Lord. But once the Spirit of God comes, things are going to be different. So she said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." And so let's just read Acts 1, 1 through 11 very quickly. I believe we have it from the board. It says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heavens? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven.'" But he's speaking, he's speaking of the fact that the Spirit of God would come. Okay. And then one more verse. He says, "Mary Magdalene went out and announced to the disciples," and I just love the simplicity of the phrase, "I have seen the Lord." I have seen the Lord. Only a believer can say, "I've seen the Lord." Some can say, "I've heard about the Lord." I've heard people say they've seen the Lord, but only a believer is going to say, "In truth, I have seen the Lord." She had seen the resurrected Lord. Before that, perhaps she had seen a great teacher. She had seen a healer. She had seen a prophet. But now she has seen the Lord. And my prayer for you is that you can say, or will say, if you're here today and do not know Christ, our desire is that you could say in all truth that you have seen the Lord. I want to declare to you that Christ died, he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And he appeared to the many. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And the Spirit of God is sent to indwell a regenerate people that we might live the life that he's called us to live. And so we are called not to ask Jesus into our hearts. We had a discussion this weekend on that. But we have been called to believe the gospel. We have been called to believe. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your word. And Father, I thank you that I can say with confidence that I've seen the Lord, and most people here would say they have seen the Lord. Lord, I pray for those who might not know you at this time. Lord, I pray that you would cause them to believe and reveal yourself to them. Open their eyes. Bring them from death to life, I pray. And Lord, just we give you the praise for who you are. We thank you for the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.